It's like an angel.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I never meant to do this. I never meant to put you in your really special. And now you have to get your foot amputated. And you have no feet. And no eyes. And no teeth. And I feel so sorry about all of it. I just can't express enough.
Feels like dying.
I am the devil, and don't you forget it.
You're a woman with a mustache.
I take Dutch comics very seriously.
The horror in there.
I'm not sure what I've done to you, but I'll take a Pinot Grigio. The only thing I have holding me back is that I have self-respect and dignity. Pumpcast.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Pumpcast. I'm Maddie Drospec.
And I'm Meg Ruoco.
And this week, I'm feeling very inspired.
Yeah?
Truly. There's some part of watching this week's Vanderpump episode that just, it lit me up inside.
Mm.
One part in particular.
What way? What part?
I think that Tom Sandoval created something beautiful that he didn't even realize he created. And that thing that I'm talking about, which we will discuss at length later, but The Art of a Crying video.
I am so glad that you brought this up.
I feel inspired because every now and then a really good crying video comes across my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And this week it just so happened to be Tom Sandoval's crying video.
Yeah. There's something about it. Like, there is something about him, like, making an apology video before apology videos, like, really blew up in that way.
It's awesome.
Like, this is before the, like, breaking my silence. This is before the, like, Logan Paul being like, sorry.
Sure.
You know, like, this is Tom Sandoval.
He's so awesome.
At his most raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was having flashbacks watching his crying video. First of all, I just love a diva who cries on camera.
Oh, absolutely.
Guilty as charged, mama. Okay? Been there. But I think the thing his video really made me think of was one time my brother and I, he won't give me access to these files, and I really wish that he did, or I wish that I had the foresight to know that I should have saved them at the time.
Release the files.
No, literally. But when I was, it was probably like 2017, so I was in college, I was probably like 20, he's 8 years younger than me, so he's like 12.
Mm-hmm.
Our great-grandfather dies. We were never that close with our great-grandfather.
Sure.
I mean, he is our great-grandfather.
Right.
We've got layers. We've got a big fucking family, too. And so, and he was really old. He was like fucking 98 or something when he died. And my brother at the time had a YouTube channel because he was inspired by his older sister.
That's beautiful.
Me, of course. So he made, I was just in college doing my thing. I get home, I check my YouTube channel. In my subscriptions, there's a new video from my brother, and he is crying about our great-grandfather. But the way that he, like, made an announcement video to his 12 followers that his great-grandfather has died, and I'm not kidding. The way he presented this information was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. Because he's, like, this, like, little 12-year-old boy, and he's, like, doing the YouTube voice that all of those kids did. Because they're just, like, mimicking the Paul brothers and whoever else they've been watching.
Yeah.
And so Luke gets on camera and he's like, hey guys, welcome back to the channel. Today is a very, very sad day. Because today, my great, great grandfather, my great, great, great grandfather, he was great, has died. But, like, I'm not kidding. It was exactly, like, bar for bar, exactly what I just said. And he was acting his ass off.
Oh, my God.
He's crying. And he's going, he's just, he's gone. He passed away. He's just like that. He's just gone. Like, when I tell you, my brother didn't have a relationship with this man.
No.
It was, like, the funniest shit ever. So I get the link and I send it to my entire fucking family because I'm like, you guys have to watch this shit.
Of course.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Bumpa, I'm sure, is out there loving this somewhere. And yeah, Luke wiped it off the internet and won't give me the link, but it was the funniest shit ever. And you know what? He did it a second time. The second time might have been even funnier, to be honest with you. You remember Avicii?
Yeah, I remember Avicii.
So when Avicii died, my family was on a trip to Universal.
Okay.
I was not invited.
Hey, I guess we'll dig into that later.
I was not invited.
Sure.
So they're on this trip to Universal. Luke was not a big Avicii fan, but when Avicii died, Luke was so rattled by that, he made a rest in peace Avicii video for his YouTube channel. And it was like videos of him on a roller coaster in Universal. He like bought the roller coaster footage, and it was footage of him on the roller coaster interspliced into these like Windows Movie Maker transitions of like rest in peace Avicii with photos of him popping up on the screen. And it was so funny. Like, it was truly my favorite video that's ever been posted online.
That's so awesome.
Rest in peace, Avicii. And then there's just like my brother, like, and some Avicii song plays in the background. It's like, no, wake me up when it's all over. Like, honestly.
Oh my God.
I hope Avicii's family saw that.
Me too. Luke, please share those.
Please send me the link.
Please put them back online. Here's the thing. If he posted that on TikTok now, it would do numbers.
I'm not kidding. I have begged him for this footage.
It would do numbers.
I'm like, Luke, it is genuinely so funny.
So good.
He's like, oh, it's so cringe. I'm like, you have to get over that. You actually just have to get over it.
Release that.
It's for the entertainment value of it all. Like, the people deserve this.
Fuck. That is so fucking funny. The mind of a child is an amazing
it's
thing.
It's beautiful.
To be like, here's what I will do to honor Avicii. Now wake me up when it is all. Rest in peace, Avicii.
Rest in peace, Avicii. Oh, it's so funny.
Fuck. R.I.P. Avicii.
But see, this is the power of a crying video.
Yes.
This is like, it inspires the youth to make their own crying videos.
Yes.
To mourn Avicii live on camera. May it be on a roller coaster or not.
Yes. Maybe this is the only good influence Tom Sandoval has ever had on the world.
Pro crying video.
Pro crying video. Tom Sandoval.
Yeah, it really is pretty special. I can't wait to talk about that specifically because I have so many thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Tom Sandoval's crying video.
I did not to give too much away, I did research for this part of the, part of the show.
Thank God. Incredible. Well, let's get the fuck into it.
Dude.
I'm like chomping at the bit about this
Yeah,
one.
No, I'm like, we need to talk about
it. I actually just think I'm happy to hang out with James Kennedy.
Actually, thank God he's here.
I just like I'm happy that he's here.
Thank God. Finally, we can talk about James Kennedy. The name James Kennedy can pass our lips and we can finally talk about perhaps one of the only people who can rival Jax Taylor in terms of like perfect reality television stars.
Yeah. Here's like they are both on a similar level of evil. Mm-hmm. James is so much funnier than Jax.
Yes, that's true.
James is like truly one of the actually funniest people I've ever seen on reality TV.
Yes.
He's brilliant.
He is brilliant.
His comedic timing is incredible.
Unreal.
Like, he is just something else.
And talk about someone who wants to cry at the drop
of
a hat.
So true.
I mean, we'll get more into that as the seasons go on, but
that's
a man,
crier. That's
that
a
man,
boy who cries.
He is not afraid to, something's going wrong, boom, immediately cry.
I need to ply when I cry. What is that?
What do you mean, what is that?
sorry.
That's the first time I've ever heard that ever in my life.
It's totally from SpongeBob. But in my head, I think I was combining two things together. Because boys who cry, isn't that a thing in SpongeBob?
Or no, the boys. We are the boys in motion. We give.
Is that, that's a Raven?
Boys in Motion is like a band.
Fuck, what is this? Is that SpongeBob? Boys, two ply. Or no, it's four ply when I cry.
You guys let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm singing, but I think it's from SpongeBob.
There is a boy band in SpongeBob.
Is that Boys Who Cry? Hold on. I think it is Boys Who Cry.
And they're a bunch of fish. They're a bunch of fish and they're a boy band in SpongeBob.
Yes, it is Boys Who Cry. Boys Who Cry is a fictional boy band in SpongeBob.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's all about you, Pearl.
Yes.
On your 16th birthday.
Yes.
Pay attention to you, Pearl. And they also have a hit song called Four Ply. So that was what I was singing.
That's
but
what
I
it is.
Apparently only know that line. But what is Boys in Motion? Is that
we are the boys in motion. We give you our devotion.
It is. That's so Raven. Okay.
Were they not a real band? Boys in Motion?
I don't think so.
Wow. They just like ingrained in my brain as a real band. Yeah. No. That's So Raven.
Boys in Motion is not a real band.
Damn.
Fictional on That's So Raven. Okay. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah. We're all locked in.
In conclusion, James Kennedy could be a member of Boys Who Cry.
Yes.
From SpongeBob.
Completely. He has the same hair. And honestly, the same exact body build.
Yeah.
He's just like one
a fish,
one long little fish.
My leg,
my drink, my diet, Dr. Kelp.
No pickles.
Okay, can we lock in?
All right, so boof. We're back right where we left off.
Yes.
At Sheener's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And James and Tom are about to go at it. Of course, the last thing that we hear exit James Kennedy's mouth is, "Don't get smart with me. You're a fucking 31-year-old. And then Tom takes his hand, pushes it directly into James's face.
Mm-hmm.
Fight instantly breaks out.
Yeah. Chaos.
It's like a billion people suddenly. Like,
yes.
It didn't seem like there was that many people, but suddenly when they're fighting, I'm like, are these people in the fight or no, are they trying to get away from the fight?
It's like they let in more people specifically to fight with everyone.
I actually feel like there's people here that I've never seen before. Yeah. And suddenly they're like all involved in the fight. And I'm like, are these producers trying to break them up?
Right.
Are these also people that are fighting? Like, I actually could not tell the difference.
And it's dark and it's like, it's grainy. Like, yeah. It's hard to even, yeah, it's really hard to know
it's like,
what's going on.
You know, in a cartoon when they start fighting and it just becomes like a
cloud?
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much what happens here. And I'm like, yes. I don't know what's happening. Yes. I see Tom. I see Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
I see James. I see Shay.
I see Kristen.
I see Kristen. Kristen got a few knocks in on
she
Tom.
Did. She did.
I did see that, Miss Kristen.
I saw that. Clocked it.
And there's glass shattering.
Mm-hmm.
There's like all this commotion. Everyone's screaming at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to Sheena across the bar. Crying. She's like, oh, and there's a big man behind her that looks like maybe he is security or a producer,
right,
trying to like comfort her.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to her in a second.
Yep.
Boof, back over to the fight where Schwartz has his arm around James's neck. He mm-hmm. has him like a chokehold.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kristen's like, Schwartz, knock it off. And then she puts Schwartz in a chokehold.
Yeah.
And then when Kristen does that, Schwartz lets go of James and Kristen punches Schwartz in the head.
Like hard multiple times.
And Schwartz is like, I was trying to break it up. Why are you punching me?
It's so awesome.
And then meanwhile, Sheena is like, can someone tell me what the fuck happened? Why is my foot cut open right now? She's crashing out over by the bar. She's pissed because either glass shattered on her foot or glass shattered and then she stepped on it.
Yep.
Who knows what the order of operations is there? Why is this always happening to Sheena? Like, what curse did they put on my girl to make it so that injuries follow her?
It's honestly astounding because, like, Sheena loves attention, and I actually think that she could utilize all the drama happening on her birthday to her advantage more than
yeah,
she does.
Totally.
You know what I mean? But she does go a little too, like, woe is me with it in kind of the wrong way.
Yeah.
That said, if, like, I was having a birthday party and all of a sudden there was glass in my foot,
totally,
I'd absolutely be freaking out.
And also, she was, like, she's screaming at some of the girls that are helping her. And she's like, how bad is it? Do I need stitches? And literally all the girls that were helping her were like, yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's Which, bad, girl.
That makes me feel like it's really bad. Because most of the time, if someone is, like, fucking up their foot like that and they ask me if they need stitches, I'm going to probably say no to calm them down.
Right.
Unless it's, like, an emergency.
Yes.
And I'm like, we all need to lock in.
We need to go.
Because she
now
might lose her foot. Like, it just feels like if they're telling her yes, this is fucking serious. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. Like, it definitely. And also, like, if I'm, like, in Sheena's orbit, I'm definitely not, like, feeding Sheena more fuel to freak
right,
out.
Right.
You know, like, she's already prone to the dramatics. I'm not going to, like, give her more ammo to be like, my foot.
cut, dude. Right. My freaking
It was just
foot.
A little cut. Like it, right. it seems like it really was
seems
bad.
Seems like it was bad.
So she's screaming at everyone to get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. If you started this, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Cut to Tom Sandoval, who literally looks insane. His face is like covered in scratches.
Yes.
He looks like he was mauled by a cat.
It honestly, like, I'm like, did James Kennedy do that? Did he go scratching first? Like,
it's honestly iconic if he did.
Because he does. And you later see that he has scratches yeah. like on his shoulder and chest. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, who was like clawing at Tom Sandoval? Jax actually became the lion from the gladiator match that we talked about. And Tom in a talking head is like, James came up to provoke me. And I'm so pissed that it's actually freaking worked. He's like, that guy's a little bitch.
Incredible.
And I also love that, like, James, quote unquote, provoking Tom was telling him that he drove a Honda.
Which, like, if it's true.
Stand on business.
If that's your boy, that if you drive a Honda.
If that's your man, stand behind him.
Like, defend your Honda Civic.
Right.
I can't believe you'd throw your boy under the bus like this.
Right. Like that place, that car takes you from point A to point B.
Right.
And you're going to.
Come on. People name their cars.
Yeah.
It's like a pet.
You didn't even have a car for a while with your suspended license.
Yeah,
ass.
Come on,
Tom.
You finally got one. Now you do this. What are we going to do?
It also cuts over to Carmen telling Jax to just kind of like let it go. She's like, you gotta let it go, or you gotta like be the person who breaks up a fight like that. And Jax is like, I tried to do that. And he's like, you know that I stayed out of it. And he in a talking head is like, yeah, like this light bulb went off and like I had a really nice white shirt on.
He's like, I like to fight.
I do.
I didn't even get to do the thing I love.
I love fighting, and I didn't even do that tonight because I'm mature.
I missed out on something that I love to do.
Yeah.
It's a deep passion of mine.
Right.
Weaved into the very fabric of who I am, and I chose not to do it because I'm wearing a white shirt.
Woven much like the tight white threads of this shirt, love for fighting is woven into the fabric of my life.
What can I do about that? I was wearing a white shirt. I wasn't allowed to fight. That fucking sucks. Nobody's sad about that for me.
Best believe if it was a black shirt, I'd be in there.
I would have been in there showing everyone that, like my black shirt, I am also a black belt. No, I have never taken any lessons. Yes, I just feel this way in my bones.
But trust that a karate-inspired clothing line will be coming out for my kits and sweater line.
Yes.
Soon.
They've already approved of the designs that I have inside my head.
And no, it's not appropriation. It's appreciation. Thank you very much.
So everyone involved in this fight leaves. Everyone's still raging out. As James is walking out, Schwartz walks over to the stairwell with an ice pack to his head and tells him to come back up here, you little bitch. And then he tells Kristen to go fuck herself. Schwartz is really in rare form, and I love it.
It's honestly amazing to like see Schwartz call somebody else a little bitch.
I know. It's like, I can't even picture Schwartz being like all big and tough, like, yeah, come up here, you little bitch. I'm like, Schwartz, come on,
Schwartz.
What are we doing?
I could flick you with my middle finger and you'd like launch right. into the next state. What yeah. are we talking about?
He's like the mouse from If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. Like, this guy is just not those vibes.
He's so the mouse from If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. Oh my God.
Come like, up here, you little bitch.
He's like, well,
oh guys,
so can I have a glass of milk?
That is the energy he takes everywhere.
So short. Holy fucking shit.
And then Sheena gets carried out, and honestly she's got a better attitude by the end. She's yeah. like laughing and making jokes. She's like, how much is this gonna cost? I'm a fucking waitress. And she's like, looking at how my last three parties went, I'm really considering having a dry wedding.
Which
will, you know what, that should... We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. This whole thing also does remind me that we forgot to make an announcement at the beginning of this show, which is that we finally got our first VPR cast member follow on social yeah. media.
Let's fucking go.
And that VPR cast member who followed us on TikTok is none other than Tom Schwartz.
Yeah! Tommy boy! Tommy. Welcome to the podcast!
Welcome to the freaking pod, brother. Welcome to hell.
We've been waiting. We knew you'd get here, brother. Okay?
We've been expecting you.
We're the demons that greet Tom Schwartz in hell.
Welcome, brother.
He's like, guys.
Immediately unfollows.
Hey, you guys, can I send you some Schwartz and Sandy's merch? Maybe to ease the tensions.
Come on, guys. I'm a peacemaker. Come on. I'm like, you know what? Schwartz, send me a hat and we'll think about it. I take bribes.
I'll take a bribe, Schwartz.
Bankroll our trip to LA and all the freaking pump establishments, and then we'll talk. We'll never say a bad word about you again. Let me throw a drink in your face to make up for what you did to Katie. Let me give you a ring on a string, Schwartz. See how you like it.
All love, though.
All love, though, dude. I'm genuinely so happy to have you here, brother.
All love. Thanks for being here.
All love. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it.
We love our fans.
I do feel like it is our right and our duty as Thanos to kind of like collect each VPR cast member slowly but surely and get them on our side. Here's the thing. I was honestly just surprised that it was a man who followed us.
Totally. You know what? So was I. I would have predicted pretty much. Well, actually, you know what? He would have been the first man I would have predicted.
He would have been the first man I would have predicted for sure. Yeah. Maybe him, like, or James Kennedy. We just obviously haven't talked about James Kennedy yet.
Yeah.
But I was not expecting a man to follow us.
No.
From the VPR cast.
And Sheena's still ignoring us.
Sheena, please. So many other people have commented on our stuff.
Sheena, we love you.
We literally love you, Sheena. And we talk about you all the time. We got matching tattoos with you, girl.
Literally, girl. I can't show you mine today.
We can't show you right now.
Because it's, I'm...
It's healing.
Yeah, it's healing.
And maybe we're going to add more to it.
Yeah. I'm having an it's all happening sleeve happening. It's all happening.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm saying.
So anyway, welcome Tom Schwartz to the Pumpers universe.
Can you believe that we've still only talked about the first 3 minutes of this episode? Like, I can't believe that all of this is squeezed into the, this is why Vanderpump is so good.
Yeah.
You just, who's doing it like this?
Nobody, literally nobody's doing it like this. Okay. Well, welcome. We're happy to have you here. We will shit on you a lot.
Yeah, but it's all love.
But it's all love, dude.
It's all love, brother.
All love.
Welcome to hell, Schwartz!
So, Boof, we're at Pump, and Lisa is interviewing people to start working there, because at this gay bar in West Hollywood, in the epicenter of the gay community, you gotta have some hunky, hunky dudes serving drinks.
Totally.
And she's talking about, you know, she's got to hire people with experience. There's no room for error, yada, yada. And then she kind of conducts an interview montage, which frankly seems utterly fake and...
Well, for sure.
...produced. Because by the end of the montage, she's like, and so here's my team.
And they all took a group photo.
I'm like,
that's not how interviews
girl,
work.
Interviews don't work like that. Interviews do not work like that. So she mentions the most important thing about this is that she mentions that she's bringing in like some key anchors from Sur and like Villa Blanca over to Pump. But she's also looking for new, fresh meat.
Right.
Okay.
Lisa, I don't give a gaff about your other fucking restaurants.
I don't give a gaff about your other restaurants. All right. It is. this is not a Pump Rules podcast.
No.
This is about Sur.
Right. This is about Sur.
This is not about Pump. This is not a Villa Blanca podcast.
No.
It's about Sexy Unique Restaurant, Restaurant, and Lounge.
It's about Sexy Unique Restaurant, Restaurant, and Lounge. And nothing else.
Okay. Keep it pushing. So, Boof.
We're in Tom Sandoval's apartment, and things are looking a little crazy in here.
Brother, it is a mess in there.
It's really clear.
Holy shit.
Cleaned in their previous relationship, and it's not Tom Sandoval.
Yep.
Oh my God. There's like a little montage of all of the mess happening in this apartment.
The editors make certain to highlight just how messy Tom's apartment is in this video. They're like zooming in on various piles.
No, and literally every time we're in Tom Sandoval's apartment in this episode, they started off with similar shots of how messy it is.
It must have been crazy to try to shoot in there. Like, imagine, I don't know. I just think about like, even if I'm having like my friends over,
right?
I like tidy up
for sure.
your apartment is going on nationwide television.
Television, brother.
And you're not even thinking to yourself, like, maybe I clean a little.
And it's not even like it's one part that's messy. No. It's all of it.
Right.
I'd be in a constant state of stress and panic if my apartment perpetually looked like that.
I cannot, like, go to sleep knowing that there is, like, mess like that in my apartment. No. I can't, like, relax in my apartment when it's that messy.
For sure, no.
But they seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah, so Tom's getting by. Mm-hmm. He's in bed suffering from his injuries. And Ariana's getting him Advil, trying to comfort him. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, making jokes in bed. He's like, I got my ass kicked last night. And then he, like, transforms for a second into James Kennedy and goes, fucking wanker! And Ariana just is, like, giggling at him.
Yeah.
And I literally, when he said, fucking wanker, I was like, I want to kill myself.
Yeah. Ariana is very tickled by this entire thing. Like, she does not seem fazed. She's like,
crazy boyfriend.
Where it's like, Ariana, your boyfriend was triggered to the point of physical violence because he was told that he drives a Honda Civic, right, which he does.
This is crazy.
Are you not a little concerned?
Also, it's like they spend the rest of this episode trying to position the retelling of this fight as if James is the one who started it.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't.
No.
Tom approached Kristen and James.
Yes.
Started beefing with James, mm-hmm, and was the one who made it physical.
Yes.
Like, in every corner of that, Tom started it.
Yep. But to Tom and Ariana, it's just them against the world.
Yeah.
Tom's just doing it with the same shit that he did with Kristen.
He loves to do that.
Yeah.
And
it's you and me, babe.
Right. It's actually gross.
Yuck.
And Ariana starts talking about how Kristen's trying to ambush everybody by talking to Miami Girl as if she's going to have some big revelation. And Ariana's dead set on the fact that, like, there is no story there and it's none of anyone's business. And Tom already told me the whole story. And sort of that's that. Anything that he didn't tell me just isn't true. Mm-hmm. But she did ask Tom. She was like, most of the story I'd already heard from you, but the one new part was that you told her that you and I broke up like 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which, the way she worded this had me thinking that I was like, the one new thing you heard?
Right.
So you heard about the period part?
Yeah, that.
Because that part's, like, the most crazy part.
Do we not have any concerns like, about that?
That's the one new thing you heard? There wasn't another new thing?
Ariana, are we not worried about that?
I'm like, even if you thought that it was all made up, that would still be a new thing.
Yes.
Right? So why would you say, I heard one new thing, and it was that you said we broke up 3 weeks before? That makes me feel like maybe they did talk about the period of it all, and he has some explanation for that that we never heard.
Which, to me, I'm just kind of like,
hello?
Hello? Like, genuinely, where I'm like, how are we talking our way out of this one?
I genuinely don't know.
It's very confusing to me. Where I guess the only thing he could have said is like, of course I never asked that or asked her to do that. I didn't do any of this. It's all made up.
Yeah.
That could be the only explanation, you know?
Who freaking knows?
Who knows? And she brings up the 3 weeks ago thing to Tom, and Tom just like pauses and looks at her and he's like, I definitely never said that.
Okay. But here's the thing. Like,
okay.
Also, the other thing is, like, no matter what his answer to that question is, it really doesn't change a goddamn thing.
No.
It's like, whether he lied about that or he didn't, he still
cheated.
Is making the argument to you that he absolutely fucking medically needed to hang out with bitches. Right. And you're just like, yeah, he needed to. He needed to bring bitches to the club.
Right.
But he didn't fuck any of them, but he like needed to bring
them
to the club. What are we doing, you guys?
Guys, it's just that my boyfriend medically needs to bring bitches to the club.
I'm just like, that's pretty much what we've just accepted as normal over here. Like, you guys, I can't with the like playing cool girl to this degree. It's way over the line. You guys are going to cool girl yourself into an early grave.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's scary.
This is stressful.
And I think also that she is doing this in part as a direct kind of response to like Tom and Kristen's relationship, mm-hmm. because she even says, like, as they kind of wrap this scene up and like Tom's yes. like putting concealer on his face to like mm-hmm. go to work because of his various bruises, she's like, listen, like, I'm aware of Tom's past, but like, you have to have trust in a relationship. I'm not going to go through his phone because that's what Kristen would do.
Right. Cause Kristen's so crazy and I'm very cool and chill.
I'm cool.
Wah, wah, wah.
And I think she shoots herself in the foot. She gets a lot of broken glass in her foot doing that to herself
yeah.
by being like, I'm not like Kristen.
Right.
I'm different than Kristen. I'm cooler than Kristen. I'll take this stuff that is concerning and be like, well, that's not my problem.
Right.
I'm not Kristen, so I'm not going to like, you know, go nuts with this information.
Tough.
Really tough. So, Boof, we're at the tattoo shop
with Jackson Schwartz.
Not again.
Why are we here?
Why are we at fucking Body Electric?
I will say, though, this scene opens up. The two of them are walking in and Jax looks at Schwartz. He's like, why the fuck are you wearing leggings?
He's wearing like joggers.
And I kind of love the idea of like when they start filming a scene like this,
mm-hmm.
they probably have a good idea of like when it starts.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you're walking into the establishment, they're gonna use a clip of that
right.
to like set the scene. Right. So they probably have some awareness that like whatever they say as they're walking in is making it into
intro.
The show. So I kind of love the idea of Jax like choosing to say, like choosing to get in his digs
yes.
during that shot because it will probably be used. Yeah. So he's like, why the fuck are you wearing leggings, bro?
Yeah.
Right when they're walking into this tattoo shop.
Jax is in his own episode of Punked on every episode of Vanderpump Rules.
It's awesome.
It's Vanderpunked Rules for Jax. So they walk in and they're headed into Body Electric and they pop into the store and the guy at the front desk is like, Jax, how's it going, brother? And he's like, yeah, I bet you know why I'm here. And he's like, I bet I do. And this is like, I'm fairly certain the same yeah. guy from when he got the Stassi tattoo. And Jax is now coming back and is like, so I got to cover up that Stassi tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no way.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy.
And he also reveals that in between getting the Stassi tattoo and now getting the Stassi tattoo covered up, mm-hmm. he also got one of his current girlfriend's names tattooed on his other arm.
Yep.
So he's got Stassi on one arm, and on the other arm, it now says Carmen. One of two of his current bitches.
Carmen's tattoo is somehow even bigger and gaudier than Stassi's like, tattoo.
You'd think the initial response is to be like, have you learned nothing? I actually think he has learned something.
Yeah.
And what he's learned is that he can use his body as a vessel for manipulation. He has learned that he can get tattoos to up women's trust or how serious they think
yeah.
he is
yeah.
by just like throwing a tattoo on there.
Yeah. Because he doesn't give a fuck.
No. He's like, I fuck up. Guess what? I'm just going to get a tattoo.
I'll get a cover up.
She's going to love that.
Yeah. That is so sick. You're sick, Jax. You're sick.
No, literally.
So as he's getting his tattoo covered up, Schwartz and Jax are talking about Stassi living at Schwartz's, and Jax is like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, it's so crazy that she's back, and like, now I'm getting this tattoo covered up. It's like, we're just like not even a part of each other's lives anymore. And it's like, you haven't been.
Well, yes.
And then they start talking about the fight from the night before, and Schwartz is like, please don't tell Lisa about this. Like, that's what stopped me from getting a job last year. Because as you'll recall, last year at Sheena's party, Schwartz got into a fight with Shay,
mm-hmm.
and Schwartz was about to get hired at Sir, and Lisa said no.
Yep.
And Jax is like, yeah, no worries, man. Like, I won't say anything. And as they're kind of like wrapping up him getting a rose tattoo, he's like, you know, Tiff's coming to town.
His other girlfriend.
And Schwartz is like, oh yeah, like, you excited to see her? And he's like, yeah, super excited to see her. You know, it's been great because both of the women that I'm dating totally know about each other, which is awesome. Like, you can kind of get away with a lot if you're honest about stuff.
He's an idiot. He's like such a fucking idiot.
The concept of quote unquote getting away with something if you are honest about it,
right,
is so funny. He's like, you know, you can actually be even way more of a shithead if you just tell the truth about it as it's happening. And it's honestly,
he's so dumb,
kind of true. Because like, it's kind of John Tucker Must Die vibes, mm-hmm. where like the lesson that Jax Taylor has learned is the same lesson that John Tucker learns in, at the end of John Tucker Must Die, which is you can date a bunch of people at once. You just have to tell them all about it constantly, which is actually like, it's actually like a joke. Like, here's the thing about John Tucker Must Die, right. is like that movie is a joke.
Yes.
And is comedic.
Right.
And Jax took that. He watched John Tucker Must mm-hmm. Die and he said, wait, that's really good.
Right. Except he hasn't worn a thong.
There's still time, Jax.
I'm scared, but there is still time.
I'm scared.
But my thing is like hearing him talk about women like this mm-hmm. and just the way he talks about his dating situations and whatever the fuck else. I have some questions for Carmen and Tiffany.
Me too.
If I was Tiffany and I was seeing Jax and he got the other woman he was seeing's name tattooed,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, goodbye then.
Yeah, I guess we're good. What? I guess we're good, actually.
I don't... To be casually in the early stages of dating, that's one thing. A tattoo would suggest that we are past that.
Yeah.
A tattoo is kind of intense.
Yeah.
If you are getting other bitches' names tattooed, I'm just kind of like... Who would want to compete
right.
to be loved by Jax, by any man, but especially by Jax Taylor?
Oh, no.
Like, guys. We don't have to do all that.
Yeah, well, it's like, I definitely have more questions for Tiffany than I do yeah. for Carmen, because Carmen is, one, 23, and two, the girl whose name is tattooed on Jax's right. arm.
And she lives in the same city as him,
right.
seemingly sees and hangs out with him a lot.
Right.
I understand why she thinks that she's, like, in the secure spot as right. like the number one girl.
Tiffany is like,
what are we doing?
28, 29 and is like a director of marketing yeah. in Vegas.
What?
You what? Gotta be able to pull some other people in Vegas, right?
Also, like, Vanderpump Rules is out.
Right. You've seen it.
We know who this man is.
Right.
What's happening?
Why are you agreeing to this, Tiffany? Anyway,
he gets the cover up and let me just say, it looks so fucking bad.
Oh, it looks like shit.
It literally looks horrible. It almost, it just looks like a blackout. It doesn't even look like a rose. It literally just looks like a blackout blob.
Yeah. Looks awful.
Bad.
Really bad. Good luck with that, Jax.
Saboof.
Word, sir.
Kristen's at work. She does have to specify that the soup of the day is served hot. She's like, yeah, we've got a lobster bisque and sweet potato soup. They are served hot.
They are served hot.
Well, that would be crazy if they weren't.
The idea of like, because like, obviously there's the concept of cold soup, right? There's like a gazpacho, right. but you call it a gazpacho.
Right.
No one is, I've never looked at someone and said, and do you serve your lobster bisque hot? Right.
Lobster bisque is going to be hot, brother. Like, I don't, you told them the soups yeah. and then you're like, and by the way, they're hot.
By the way, they're hot.
Well, yes. That would be, you'd have to specify to me if they were cold, not if they were hot.
A real glimpse into like what it's like to work in public service though.
Right.
Because it's like, it's truly like, you're like, how dumb could people get?
Yeah.
And it's like so dumb to the point where you have to specify totally. That the lobster bisque is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Somebody out there has complained.
And Kristen in a talking head is talking about how she wished that she had behaved better at Sheena's birthday, and I love that they cut a clip of Kristen from exactly one night before punching Tom Schwartz in the head, going, who the fuck are you? And then it cuts back to Kristen in her talking head going, so I'm definitely not proud or happy for hitting Tom, but I know I'll get the blame for everything because everybody always blames old Kristen. It's like, well, Kristen, you did physically assault a man last night.
So there is that. Cut to Tom and Jax at the bar. Jax is there. Tom walks up and he's like, there he is, Rocky Balboa.
Jax is on a fucking tear this episode,
and
dude.
He's like, you trying to check out all of Tom's scratches and bruises, and obviously Tom has them all covered up with makeup, and Jax is like, see, that's why you were born to know how to use that stuff. Which is like basically Jax being like, yeah, gay. That's like his
trying
his,
to say the F slur without right? saying it.
He's like just dancing around right. it. He's like, yeah, you know how to use all that makeup yeah. stuff real good, Tom.
And James is also working that night. And Tom is like, great. Lo and behold, there's James. Yay. Tom and Jax are talking about how Sheena was in the hospital because of her foot until 6 a.m.
My Sheen.
And Tom is like, I know. I tried to text and I couldn't, so I just sent a video.
And Jax is like, a video of what?
And he goes, me apologizing.
Jax is like, sorry, what? What did you do? What do you mean you tried to text and you couldn't, you fucking boomer? What are you doing? What are you talking about?
And it cuts to the screen recording of Tom's apology video.
And so he's like sniffling and crying. He's like, I feel so, my heart hurts because of what I've done.
I'm sorry to you. And I'm sorry to your family. I'm just really freaking embarrassed right now.
Like, it's a crazy video. And he's like looking at the camera, like tears falling, direct eye contact with himself in the iPhone screen. Like, he's watching every tear go.
So this is the research that I did for this scene. Because I was struck by a visual comparison that we'll need to put into the video edit, and I will describe as best I can for our listeners. Tom, in this video, looks exactly like Pepe the King Prawn from The Muppets.
I need to look this up now.
For those who may not know who Pepe the King Prawn is, he recently gained critical fame for being a TikTok trend where you would put him over the music of I Hear Your Voice. It's like the angels calling. And he's a little red prawn with scraggly hair. And often looks very surprised or shocked.
The way it is actually, it looks just like him. Like, that is, we actually have to make that edit on TikTok. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Because I was watching and I was like, why does he look exactly like that? Straight up, I spent maybe like 30 minutes at work Googling variations of scraggly looking Muppet on TikTok.
Holy fuck. No, that's actually crazy,
man.
He is
fucking Pepe the King prawning out. His apology
video.
I
hear your voice. It's like an angel.
I'm so sorry.
I hear your voice.
I never meant to do this.
Sheena sent them the video
yes.
of Tom to put in. Like, it is so crucial.
It's glorious.
And I actually don't think that we send that video back to Tom Sandoval enough.
No.
And knowing all that's going on in his life right now, I actually am calling on all the pumpers to repost the fucking video.
Yeah, repost Tom's apology
repost
video.
Tom's crying video. Let's make this shit take the rounds
because
again.
Because the truth is that if anyone should be making more than one apology video, it's Tom Sandoval. So,
tell Tom Sandoval the only way we'll consider forgiving him as a collective is if he makes another apology video and posts it on Grid, on Main.
Post it on Main, Tom.
I want him to grid post a...
I said this a couple episodes ago.
I was just saying you want to see Tom Sandoval open mouth cry.
I've been saying this. Oh my god!
I didn't, and honestly, I like completely forgot that this was something that happens in the show. So to see it come to fruition is really gorgeous.
Just dying to see him cry.
Me too. Fuck.
My truth is that I'm always going to love a forbidden romance trope, and you guys know I love a spicy read. But what if the forbidden romance was also a cowboy romance? A hot, steamy, former pro bull rider with an employee that's slowly falling in love with him. If you're a fan of contemporary cowboy romances by authors like Bailey Hanna, Lila Sage, Elsie Silver, or Paisley Hope, you will absolutely love Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose, which is a part of the Crimson Ridge series. Each book in the series reads as a standalone, but they all take place in the same remote small town, and they're all, of course, very spicy. Taming of the Heart is super spicy. It has very explicit sexual imagery and language throughout, which obviously is exactly what I signed up for. And it basically just drops you right into what it would be like to be hired by a ranch for the summer, except your boss is unreasonably hot, literally looks like every fantasy and daydream you've ever had come to life. Oh, and he's already accidentally seen your favorite toy. Okay, you're the eldest daughter. You lock your heart away safely out of sight, but then boom, a former pro bull rider, much older than you, with a mustache, might I add, that makes you weak at the knees, shows up. He's the whole package. And he's luring you in with glimpses of what it might be like to let your guard down for the first time in your entire life. I know you guys are going to love it. I've been sucked in from the moment I picked it up. You can find Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. And you can learn more by checking out Kensington Publishing at kensingtonbooks.com. The best summer pieces are always going to be the ones that you'll rewear over and over again. The ones that prioritize comfort, versatility, and are somehow right for every occasion, which is why I love Quince. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen, organic cotton, and washable silk without the traditional retail markup. They're breezy, light, and perfect for the summer heat, with pieces starting at just $32. And it's not just apparel. Quince also carries beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry to add a subtle finishing touch to your look, or elevated essentials for your home as well. From bedding to bath to kitchen essentials and furniture, I actually just picked up some throw pillow covers from them, which is nice because it easily allows me to switch up some of the styles of pillows I already have in my home instead of buying a billion throw pillows that I just don't have the space for in my apartment. And not only are they gorgeous, but they're super soft to the touch. It's already made my home feel cozier, which I need right now as I'm sitting in front of the AC trying to remain zen and not overheat this summer. So make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada as well. That's quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/emotionallyonline.
So it's a little later at Sir. Lisa comes up to Katie and she's like, listen, I know about the fight last night. And the reason that she knows about the fight last night is because Peter, her little bird, told her everything that happened, because she is like Varys from Game of Thrones and Peter is her little bird. Mm-hmm. And
Peter, friend of the show.
Peter, friend of the show. All love, brother.
All love, Peter.
And Lisa saying to Katie, she's like, listen, this is two strikes against Tom now. And Katie's like, okay, I understand. But like, will you please hear Tom out? Please, please, please. And LVP's like, stop squeaking.
Which is insane.
It's really insane. Like,
Lisa's actually so rude to Katie. She talks to her like she is so pathetic. Yes. And so beneath her.
Yes. It's honestly quite baffling to watch.
Yeah.
And Katie, in a talking head, says that Schwartz says that before we can get married, he wants to be financially secure. So I'm just trying to set that wheel in motion. I want to break down those sentences for a second.
Yeah.
Schwartz says that mm-hmm. before we can get married, he wants to become financially secure.
Right.
Okay. I've heard things like that before from people. Mm-hmm. I understand. the next sentence. So I'm trying to set that wheel in motion.
Right.
Do we see what maybe the issue with those sentences are right next to one another?
Maybe those aren't your wheels.
Hmm.
You know, it sounds like those are his wheels.
Sounds like maybe those are his wheels. Sounds like maybe his wheels are completely stationary on the ground.
Right.
Not actually attached to anything.
Yeah.
So
we can't be rolling his wheels.
No, those aren't our wheels to roll, baby girl.
No.
Your wheels are already rolling. His or not.
This can't be happening. Schwartz does want to exist in like the, what do you call those? The little like sidecar.
Oh my God.
He wants to exist in one of those in his life.
And one day he like does get that wish.
Yeah.
More to come on that. But like, you know, 5 years from now. But like.
But he's manifesting already.
He's manifesting sidecar.
Yeah.
He's like, well, since I had some milk, could you get me a blanket?
Oh, while you're there, while you're up, do you mind just like asking Lisa if she'll give me a job or something?
That cookie was really good.
I'm just like really full from the cookie, and I just don't feel like I can get up off the couch. So if you could ask Lisa if she would give me a job, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm just really sleepy from acting all day, and yeah. I don't know. I'm like,
and also I'm battling depression because I haven't been able to get a lot of jobs, and that makes me sad.
Yeah. If you're getting me a blanket, could you also maybe get me a pillow? Cause I'm really sleepy.
Thank you, Bubba.
Thank you, Bubba.
Also, bring me my Bubba.
Also, get me more milk. So, LVP is not having it. She's like, I'm not listening to this. I gotta go.
Bye. Walked outside.
Okay, bye.
And Katie literally chases her out the door.
Yeah.
She's like, no, Lisa. Runs outside down the streets of West Hollywood. She's like, please just talk to Tom. Don't write him off. We're trying to save up for a wedding someday. This is important to me. And Lisa's like, don't put this on me.
Not my problem, sister.
I want nothing to do with this. She's like, what do you want me to do when this is how the people who work for me act and represent the company when they're out and about?
Yeah.
And Katie's like, you know, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what the vibes were, but what I do know is that three of the other people involved in this conflict are active full-time employees of you.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe just hear Schwartz out.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know what's going on over there. And it's like, all right, so.
She's like, go back to work. Bye, 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 bye. I have to go to pump. Bye. She's just like fully walking into a construction zone.
She's putting on a hard hat. Goodbye.
Bye. Okay, bye. Poof. We're at Katie and Tom's apartment. Schwartz and Stassi are there.
The dynamic duo, Schwartz and Stassi.
Exactly. And Schwartz is telling Stassi about the Jack's cover-up tattoo. And Stassi's like, God, I'm free. I am free, girl.
Reminded exclusively of the scene in Aladdin where the genie is free. That is what Stassi feels like to me.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
That's what Stassi is doing in that apartment.
Completely.
Can your friends do this?
Can your friends do that?
Stassi is like over the fucking moon. She's like, oh my God, it felt like being shackled to somebody having my name on his arm. Thank God.
She's like, I'm just happy it's a black rose and not another tribal tattoo. Thank God. She's like treating it like her burial space.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God.
I'm just so glad I was buried under a black rose rather than a tribal tattoo.
I'm so glad that the mausoleum is covered in tribal covered in fucking roses instead of tribal tattoos. Phew. And then Schwartz pretty quickly changes the subject to be like, listen, you should be really happy that you didn't come to Sheena's birthday. I put James in a headlock.
T, girl.
Yeah.
You would have loved it.
Do you ever think that this little mouse could put James in a headlock? But you didn't think that.
He's like, you know, I'm a little worried because it might end up costing me my job at Pump.
And Stassi's like, yeah, girl, it will.
She's like, I am worried for you, sister. You've got to get on that. You got to like go talk to Lisa before she talks to you.
Yeah, like you should have talked to Lisa yesterday.
Right. You got to open with remorse and let Lisa know that something like this will literally never happen ever again.
Yeah.
And that you just kind of have to bow down to her a little bit.
And Tom's like, no problem. I am afraid of her.
Right. He's like, yeah, so I am terrified of Lisa Vanderpump. So I will kind of do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
because Tom Schwartz is the first sub.
The first one ever.
The first sub ever. Tom Schwartz. So boof. We're back at Sir. Tom Sandoval is carrying Sheena on his back into Second Unique Restaurant, Restaurant and Lounge. Mm-hmm. Much like when JoJo Siwa carried Tom Sandoval on back years later.
Carrying the torch.
Ah.
This is beautiful.
I was trying to do his kind of backwards scene, but also with Hunger Games.
Totally. No, anyway. You landed that plane.
Thank you.
Completely.
Thank you.
But I love this from Sheena. She has these moments where I'm like, yeah, fucking get his ass.
Get him, Sheena.
She hops off his back and she's like, oh, I can walk. I just wanted to make you carry me. You know what?
And he's like, oh.
Okay.
And oh, Sheena, God, Sheena in a talking head is like, listen, there are two ways to tell me that you're sorry. A really nice bottle of champagne or a 4-minute long video where you look like a super pussy.
Which I've never heard someone say super pussy before, but I did like it.
It's so awesome.
I literally had to rewind it to be like, did she say super pussy? Kind of good.
You know what?
You look like a super pussy, dude.
You look like a super pussy right now.
It sounds like a mistake almost,
yeah,
to call it a super pussy, because that sounds like a good thing.
Well, it almost sounds like she was using the word pussy for the first time in her life. She was like, so what adjective do I put in front of this word?
Super pussy sounds awesome. It's like she should have been like a huge pussy.
Oh, right.
Rather than super.
Super pussy sounds like it's like, oh, so your pussy's fire.
Right. Your pussy's fucking incredible.
Right. Anyway,
I kind of love it though.
It's really
there's
good.
Also there's something about that sound, the
super pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Anyway, and it briefly shows Tom's Pepe the King Prawn video again, right. having like a major breakdown, which God, awesome. What I would give for the raw unedited clip of that.
I just love that it keeps, you can see him just looking at himself crying, and he'll occasionally like look away into the corner of the room, but he always like glances back at the phone to make sure that his tears are still translating. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's so cool. And James is in the kitchen. He's kind of recounting the fight. Peter is recounting the fight to Jeremy, one of the bartenders. And Christina Kelly in the back goes up to Katie and is like, why the fuck is Sheena here eating dinner?
Just eating dinner with Shay. Can a girl not have dinner wherever the fuck she wants?
Sorry, can't a girl get a fucking discount?
Why the fuck do you care that Sheena wants a discount dinner?
Right. She's not in your section.
Right?
Relax.
Who cares?
What's up? And Katie's like, she has no shame. She loves attention.
She would rather save $5 than avoid an awkward run-in. But it's like, is it that awkward for Sheena? She didn't do anything.
Yeah, Sheena didn't do anything. If anything, it's probably more thrilling for her because people get to come grovel at her feet
right,
all night.
Right, exactly.
Her glass foot.
It's honestly kind of a very Stassi move of her.
It is.
She's like big dicking it around Sir these days.
I think if Stassi did that, people would be like, oh my God, she's incredible. Yeah, but because it's Sheena, everyone's like, ugh, she loves attention. Yeah. It's like, yeah, she does. She's made that very clear.
Totally. She's never lied about that.
She said that explicitly several times. I don't know why you're surprised at this move.
Yeah.
And James comes up to Sheena and Shay and is like, hey, how's it going?
Hey, queen, how's your foot?
And Sheena's like, yeah, I'm good. Like, clearly wanting him to walk away. And James is like, look, I wasn't looking for a fight. And Sheena's like, really? That's so interesting because I heard that you told several people last night that you were looking to fight Tom.
And James is like, no, I don't know who told you that,
no.
But I'd like to know their names so I can really get to the bottom of this.
Who said that? And he's like, listen, at the bottom line is that Tom's had his problems with me since the beginning. I made fun of his car, I put him in a headlock, and next thing you know, Schwartz is punching me in the face.
And she is just kind of like, I actually don't want to hear all of this. She's like, I have a wedding to plan. Shut your mouth.
And James is like, okay, but I'm just saying it was inevitable. And like kind of
Sheena's like, I need a break from you and Kristen.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And he's like, oh, okay. Okay.
Seeing James, he is like kind of, he comes onto the show way meeker
so
than he ends
meek.
Up being. Like, I even was watching back some of the scenes mm-hmm. from last week. The scene specifically when it's Kristen, James, Shay, and Sheena yeah. out to drinks.
Yeah.
And Sheena makes some comment or she's like, I'm going to be on the bar by the end of the night for my birthday party or whatever.
Right.
And James is like, oh my God, you absolutely are. Like, he's like just being a lot like... nicer
yes.
and more like entertaining of the
yes
you know the bullshit that he ends up making fun of constantly
yep
in every other season of this show
yep yeah he just it's really interesting to see James Kennedy with like zero social power
right
it's very funny to watch and Shay sums it up in an awesome way by saying I mean they did stir up some shit last night.
Always Shay coming in with the banger analysis.
Astute as fucking hell, Shay. Okay, so boof. Christina Kelly, Katie, and Stassi are going apartment hunting. Ah, so exciting. And Stassi says that she is looking for a home for her and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the living conditions in New York were not great. They were living in a studio and she does not like to poop with people near her, which girl, same.
We literally just talked about this on Emotionally Online
straight
a couple
up
weeks ago.
Just talked about it. Stassi, you are us.
You would love us.
We are you.
Same page, sister queen.
Get on the pod, girl. We'd love to have you.
Literally. They talk about how Stassi's boyfriend is a total boss in the sack.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Christina Kelly does note, she's like, finally, you're dating a normal guy.
Totally
who's
normal.
Super nice and yep. motivated and mm-hmm. someone that you trust.
Totally all of those things. And we never, ever learn otherwise.
Nope.
Ba-ba-ba-boof. We're at Tom's apartment. It's still a fucking mess. And Jax shows up with concealer and he's like, wow, looks good in here. Totally fucking sarcastic. It literally looks like a bomb hit it. And Tom's like, thanks. Jax is like, I was fucking joking.
He goes, that was a joke.
Tom's face looks even more insane. He's covered in what looks like more bruises and scratches.
Everything is like purple now.
It's getting worse. But Jax brought him concealer because that's what boys do.
Yeah, and he's like, listen, we don't hold grudges, me and Tom.
Yeah,
he's like,
come on.
Yeah, I slept with Kristen, but we've been best friends for 10 years.
Yeah, come on.
And it's like, totally. Besties forever.
We would never let a woman get in between us.
Right.
Right. Okay, okay.
Right.
And so Jax basically comes to Tom because he's like, listen, I need your advice because, you know, you've been in my position before and I just, mm-hmm. man to man, I need a little bit of guidance. He's basically like, okay, so Tiffany, his Vegas girlfriend, is in town for the week and she asked me to hang out and I told Carmen and she freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you do have her name tattooed. But as Jax is talking about this, it's like becoming increasingly clear that he definitely hasn't been as honest as he has been saying that he has been.
Mm-hmm.
If, and we see this later on in the episode as well, it's just like these two women are clearly not, they're clearly wanting him to like make a decision and
yeah.
like move past this early stage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dating multiple women of it all. And Jax is basically like, oh, but I like having two girlfriends, though. So, like, what am I going to do?
And they both know about each other. So, like, what's the
And, like, what
ish?
Was the issue? Because they both know. And Tom basically has to tell Jax, like, okay, just because you've been honest with someone doesn't mean that they are going to like what you say to them.
Jax is like, okay.
Well, that's really weird.
Yeah. And he actually does not take that advice to heart at all. No. And Tom is basically like, so why did you start dating Carmen in the first place? And Jax like doesn't answer. And he's like, is it because Tiffany lives in Vegas and she wasn't around? And Jax just like slowly, silently nods. And he's like, I hate to say that.
But it's like he really thinks that that reflects poorly on other people more than it does of him.
Yes.
Like you can, I can just tell that he thinks that's more of a read of Carmen
mm-hmm.
than it is a read of his absolute inability to spend even one day.
Yeah.
Not having sex with a woman.
Right.
Like maybe be alone, brother.
Yeah.
You have a problem.
But he's also like, listen, it's awesome because like Carmen's friends with all of you guys and like
and like you guys are all dating each other, and like I'm dating Carmen, and it's like I'm not gonna be left out, which is awesome. And like Tiffany knows about it, and I was totally honest with both of them, which is great.
Right.
And Tom's like, yeah, no, we know, we get the honesty thing. Like we get that. And Jax goes, he's like on his way out. He's like, all right, see you later. See you later, Killa. And he's on his way out, and he goes, yeah, the honesty thing. That's the only thing I have going for me right now. I'll let you know how it goes. And Tom goes, all right, man.
This guy's crazy.
Just two dumb bitches telling each other exactly.
Also, let us remember that in last week's episode, Jack says he's the best he's ever been.
Right.
And in this week's episode, he says the only thing he has going for him is this honesty thing. What's the truth?
I mean, Jax hasn't been honest with himself one day in his life, but apparently I love this honesty tour that he's on. Okay, so Boof, we have a brief scene with Stassi, Christina, Kelly, and Katie still in the car going apartment hunting. The only notable thing about this scene is that as they're talking about Stassi's sex life and how awesome it is, Katie mentions that Stassi is probably having more sex than her, and they briefly talk about how Katie and Schwartz don't have sex a lot because Schwartz is ticklish.
Right. And he like can't take sex serious enough.
Yeah.
So he will usually just like honk Katie's boob. Right.
Okay. Imagine
Schwartz, friend of the show.
Schwartz, friend of the pod. I hope. Oh, I hope that that attitude has changed, mister. Imagine you're like hooking up with someone for the first time. You take off. First of all, you're kissing. You like grab their neck or something. You grab their waist and they start giggling. You pull back. You're like, oh, sorry. Did I do something? You're like, oh, sorry. I'm just ticklish.
It's fine. Try it again.
Okay, so you kiss that, you kiss them again. Oh, sorry, I didn't. Am I doing something wrong? I didn't know. Just let me know. Like, if you want me to stop, I can absolutely stop.
No, for sure.
Okay,
you didn't do anything.
Okay, so you move on from kissing. you then take off your clothes. You're now naked in front of this man.
Yes,
and he reaches out his hand, reaches towards your chest. And goes, onk, onk.
Onk, onk. I would talk about that for the rest of my fucking life. Like, I would never shut up about it.
He grabs your tit and says, onk, onk.
Sorry, I tried to have sex with this man, but he kept laughing because he was ticklish.
You're in couples counseling? Yeah, I just think we have kind of like sexual and like physical intimacy,
right.
Compatibility issues. Oh, can you walk me through it? Like, sometimes it's hard, you know, for people to get physically like aroused enough, you know, in order to have sex. No, that's not really the problem. Oh, what is the problem? Well, he honks my boobs when I take off my clothes.
Schwartz is watching this right now. Going like this to the screen.
I like to imagine that only because Schwartz has followed us on TikTok, he now has watched every single episode.
Right now, he's just a fan. He's watching everything. Yeah, we're just going to assume.
We're just going to assume.
Schwartz, we know you're here.
Schwartz, we know you're here. Speak up.
Schwartz?
Speak up. Do you still honk women's boobs when you have sex with them?
Schwartz, this is the Schwartz call.
Straight up, here's what's so crazy too is like, you really don't want to have sex with your girlfriend, huh?
Well, it's just like something is wrong.
Ticklish?
We can't take sex seriously?
If a man told me that he was ticklish and that's why he couldn't have sex with me, I would be like, straight up, I would rather you tell me that I'm ugly.
I'm literally sitting him down and making him watch that ticklish documentary about the people who tickle online. You remember that? That was so long ago.
No, Maddie.
It was this documentary about this, like, it's like a kink subculture online.
Oh, well, that's not surprising.
About tickling.
Yeah.
I'm sitting him down and I'm making him watch that and I'm making him feel deep shame about the fact that he's ticklish.
Like, your man is not ticklish. He just doesn't want to fuck you. I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you.
Anyway, boof. We're at the Moment Hotel, and Jax rolls up with Tiffany to this, like, weirdly empty rooftop bar. She orders notably a Patron pineapple and splash of Sprite. And I'm like,
random as hell.
Crazy ass drink, girl. But whatever.
They're flirting. She's making fun of the fact that he has dandruff.
Mm-hmm. And Jax is like, I've never had a relationship like this. Like, it's so adult.
He's 35, everyone, just as a reminder.
This relationship is so adult. Huh.
For crazy. A 35-year-old, he's saying that is crazy.
I can't even imagine saying that. Like, I'm 29.
No, this is like what 23-year-olds yes. say.
Where they're like, we're finally living together. It's so right. adult.
We're graduated. We're not in college. It's our first, like, real adult relationship. Yeah. This is
35?
Like what newly postgraduate people say. 35 years old? Brother, we are way past that. Way.
You are one full teenager away from that moment in time.
But it's like because he's been exclusively dating college-age women.
Yeah.
He's just been like...
He's like, that's so crazy. You have like a job. Crazy. You have like a job?
So like adult of us.
Whoa, you have like a job and you have like a salary. That's so crazy. You know, your friends are pretty intimidating because they also have salaries.
Yeah, he's like, they're all talking about their planes and Bentleys and shit. And it's just like a lot. It's like, yeah, because you're, what are you doing?
Yeah. Because you're not doing shit, brother.
No.
And also you're dating like, again, seemingly like the director of marketing for like a massive hotel. Yeah, she's making money.
Yeah.
Also, girl, why are you dating him?
Right. Why are you, as a woman who like clearly seems to have some of her shit together,
right.
dating Jax Taylor, publicly a menace, with another woman's, a 23-year-old woman's name tattooed on his arm that he's currently actively dating?
Once again, an example of women stealing men's jobs. She is dating some broke-ass, bum-ass motherfucker. Yeah. And Jax is the gold digger.
I can't.
Good for her. You know what? Good for you, Tiffany. And they get on the topic of Carmen, which I also think is really interesting. Like, as someone who, like, I've casually date people and, like, I'll date multiple people at the same time, whatever. I think it's kind of standard practice, good rule. You don't talk about the other people you're dating.
The way that she brings it up, again, leads me to believe that... there is something different happening.
Yeah.
Because she asks him, so are you even talking to Carmen anymore?
Mm.
Which makes it seem like he had previously said something mm-hmm. about not really being into Carmen and only being interested in Tiffany.
Yeah.
And she was just sort of checking the status of that.
Yep. And Jax is like, listen, she's 23. She's young. You're not. You're like old. You're like set in your ways. He literally says you're set in your ways, which is crazy.
God.
And he's like, bottom line is, I really shouldn't be with her if I'm constantly thinking of you. And then he's like, yeah, I don't know. It'll work itself out.
And Tiffany says, she's like, this is not making me feel comfortable if you're hanging out with her all the time.
And he's like, you're right. No, for sure.
He's like, yeah, I know.
I'll break up with her.
I think the mature thing for me to do is to end it with her because I do love you.
Hey, what?
He does say, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
This is how he is. He's been lying this whole time.
He just says anything.
He actually did have two girlfriends.
A man I've been dating
this
for.
This is just not casual.
A
at
man
all.
I've been casually dating, not even exclusively, for like 2 months, 3 months, is like, hey, by the way, I love you. Like, I'd be like, sorry, what?
This is crazy.
No, you don't.
This is crazy.
You don't, but that's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boof.
Over to Pump. It is 2 days before the opening, mama.
Oh, my God. Who freaking cares? Who freaking cares? Schwartz does show up with a backpack looking like that kid who did the floss. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes!
He looks like, just like he was in like exactly the Katy Perry like- video. He was like, another one in the basket. Swish, swish, bish.
It looks exactly like the floss kid from Swish, Swish, Bish.
He's walking up. He's like holding the two straps with his hands. He's like skipping up to the restaurant. The thing is too, like Schwartz at this time, like he's hot.
I know.
He does everything in his power to make himself strange.
Not hot. Yeah. Not hot. What's so crazy too is like there's such a market for like hot off-putting people.
Yeah.
That's my bread and butter actually.
Totally.
But like
he's off-putting in a way that's very juvenile.
Yes. It's not like charming.
No.
And I think that people get fooled by that and think that it's charming, but like swiftly you see that it is in fact not charming at all.
Yeah.
But he does kind of skip up to pump. I made an entire bullet point that just says fucking dork in all caps.
Yeah, he's like sweating and shaking.
Yeah. He's like truly like he's so scared. He's like, well, I know that it's been a bad look for me these past couple of days. And Lisa's like, yeah, girl, like I already know everything that happened, but like, how about you tell me what happened? And Schwartz recounts the fight at Mixology. He says there was a barroom brawl, which is like, who is it's Schwartz's first time totally. Speaking.
It
I
sounds
guess,
like
ever.
A Mario Party mini game.
And Lisa's like, wait, hold on. You were at Mixology? Robert Earl's Mixology?
I love how she's like, you were at Robert Earl's? As if we're supposed to know who the fuck that is.
She's like, you know he's a good friend of mine, right?
My dear friend, Robert Earl, owner of Mixology.
And Schwartz is like, listen, like, I didn't even instigate anything. Like, James instigated all of it. Like, I was just trying to break James away. And I don't know. I don't think it was a fiasco.
Lisa's like, oh, it was absolutely a fiasco.
This was a fiasco, dude.
Dictionary definition of fiasco is this.
Cut back to the fight and that swirl of just like storm cloud of people fighting. And Schwartz is like, listen, I got it. I made a mistake. He's like, the flop sweat is right. Dripping down his face.
I will do anything, absolutely anything in the world that you want me to do, I will do it.
I am a good bartender. I'm a good employee. I'm a solid person. I'm affable. I'm kind. I'm easy to work with. I'm timely. And Lisa's like, I don't care about any of that.
I'm not here. I don't need your charm or any of this bullshit.
Yeah.
I need someone who can show up and work and be no nonsense about this shit.
And she's like, listen, we'll give you a test run at the opening party because I need you there. I need the numbers. Let's see how it goes. And Tom's like, thank you.
She's like, but trust, we will be having a staff meeting to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
I think Schwartz is just honored to be included in the staff meeting.
Yes.
More on this later.
Ba-ba-ba-boo!
Cut to Jax, who is currently heading to dinner with his other girlfriend, Carmen. They're at some little pizza place. It's a very order-at-the-counter kind of pizza place. Mm-hmm. Not very fancy. They seem to be the only people in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that he's about to have like a relationship-ending conversation with Carmen based on his previous conversations with both Tom and Tiffany about this matter.
Confirmed by the fact that he says, you know, when you have these tough conversations, you don't want to take them somewhere nice.
Right. Yes. He's making it pretty obvious that he has one intention here.
Mm-hmm.
He gets there before Carmen. He orders pizza, sits down. She walks in. The first thing he does is stand up from the table, grab her head, and like very sensually kiss her.
Yep.
Which is a very weird thing to do if you know you're about to end things.
I would say really strange. He also goes back to kiss her again.
Right. Like, ugh. It's actually like mean.
It is mean.
That's mean and evil to
pretty
do that.
Pretty strange. They get their pizza. And Jax pretty much immediately goes, let's just skip. We need to talk. You need to have fun this summer. Like, you're going to go to law school. Like, I'm not going to be around for that. I don't want to hold you back. You deserve better.
Which is the dumbest route he could have possibly chosen to take with this. Instead of actually speaking from his heart or being honest about how he feels, taking any kind of responsibility for his emotions and the choices he makes, he tries to turn it around as if this is actually her choice.
Yep.
You're young. You deserve to like laugh and giggle and have fun this summer. And like,
right.
I'm just in the way of that. He's like speaking for her.
Yep.
And he somehow thinks this is going to work when this is going to offend any woman with a brain.
Yes. He literally could have just been like, listen, you know that I've been seeing somebody else.
Right.
This is not an easy conversation for me to have. I really care about you. I care about the time that we've spent together. The reality is I've developed deeper feelings for this person and I'm going to be pursuing those things with her exclusively.
Yep.
That conversation still would have sucked.
Totally.
But it's the truth and would have gone over a lot better than him being
sure.
You don't want to date me, you dumb bitch.
Totally. This is, you're basically breaking up with me right now.
I'm hurt. Stay with me. Ah, but you don't want to.
Yeah, like, he's 35. Like, this is how you act when you're 17.
I will say that his hemming and hawing has gotten a lot shorter since he's tried to break up with Laura Lee.
Yeah. He still does it,
though.
He's
still doing
it. He's like huffing and puffing and just like talking himself in circles. Half his sentences don't make sense.
And Carmen's like, hey, sorry. Am I missing something? Because you said that you wanted me to have your babies like a day ago.
And you have my name tattooed on your arm.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? What's going on here?
And Jax is like, this isn't about you. I care about you a lot. I don't want to hurt you and I don't want you to hurt me.
And Carmen immediately calls his ass out.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God for Carmen.
She like saw straight through it immediately and she's like, you are manipulating this to make it so that it's about me having so much going on in my life and you don't want to hold me back. But again, this is really just your way of escaping any personal responsibility or like speaking for yourself and how you feel.
Yep.
And she says, she's like, you just want to have your cake and eat it too. You want to have all these girls tagging along with you. But here's the thing. After this, I don't want to see you again because I don't like you.
And Jax goes, what?
He's so offended.
He's like dumbfounded.
He's like, oh my God, why would you say that? He's like, that was harsh.
Okay, hurt my feelings much?
She literally is like, you are 35 years old. Get your shit together. And he's like having war flashbacks to dating Stassi.
Poof. Get your shit together. Poof. You're 35. Poof. I want a man with ambition.
He's like, what the hell? Women are evil and mean to me all the time. Why would she say that?
And Carmen's like, listen, like, you just look out for number one, which is you. So, and Jax is like, sometimes you have to look out for number one.
And she's like, okay, well, we're done.
And he's like, wait, you're done? Like, you're leaving?
She's literally basically like, yeah. Like, you've shown me that you are not the person that I want to be with. This is fucking weird. Goodbye. Good for her. Good for her.
Good for her. And Jax is like, I do not know why she responded that way at all. I thought that we were on the same page. Well, obviously, honesty sucks. You know, kill the messenger kind of thing, I guess.
He has got to be one of the dumbest people on earth.
The idea of him using the phrase, kill the messenger. Jax, you're not the messenger.
Right.
You're the person.
You are the doer.
You're the doer. There's no messenger.
There's no separate person.
There's no separate entity.
Just relaying a message. Like, you also lived through this and are doing the
thing. It's weird. Like, I just relayed the message that I, me personally, Jax Taylor, don't want to be in a fucking relationship with her anymore. Weird. Okay. And she acted as if I, Jax Taylor, don't want to be in a relationship with her anymore.
And she's shooting the messenger. Classic.
Women.
Everybody wants to get mad at a guy for just being honest.
Here's the thing about honesty is that it freaking sucks. It doesn't actually get you anywhere or get you the things that you want or where you want to go. We should be lying. Look at what honesty got me. Now I'm sitting alone eating pizza outside because my girlfriend who I just broke up with didn't want to have pizza with me anymore.
And now I have to get a second shitty cover up on my other arm.
Fuck.
So what are we going to do about that, America?
Ba-ba-ba-ba-boof. We're at pump.
Oh my God.
And Lisa has called a Sir staff meeting. Kind of actually a restaurant wide.
Yeah.
Restaurant chain staff meeting.
A restaurant wide meeting is in effect. Take shelter in your nearest epicenter of the gay community.
And Lisa opens up the meeting by being like, as you can see, I am very busy. I am very, very busy right now. And I am so fucking mad about this bar brawl. Mm-hmm. I would be livid if Robert Earl's staff came in here and behaved the way that you did.
My friend, my best friend, Robert Earl.
Some may even say my brother.
Imagine if his staff was here right now fighting in front of all of you.
Hooting and hollering, shirts off.
Robert Earl's staff.
Nails grown out so they could scratch each other.
Can you imagine Robert Earl's staff?
Robert Earl's staff wouldn't even dream of doing such a thing. Robert Earl.
Robert Earl.
I need a shirt that says Robert Earl.
Robert Earl. Not Buca de Beppo, not Mixology, no. Just Robert Earl. Earl. Robert Earl's my best friend.
Robert Earl's my best friend. Sluts party with me.
And she's like, all right, who's going to tell me what happened? I already know what happened, but who's going to tell me their version? And James is like, all right, I'll step up. She's like, he's like, listen, you know, Tom and I have already had a feud for a while. He made a comment about my car. I made a comment about his car. And Lisa's like, wait, what? She's like, this all happened because you guys made comments about each other's cars? And James is like, listen, if it wasn't going to be about the cars, it was going to be about something else. Like his hair looks stupid or some bullshit because it always does. And then he would probably say that my hair looks stupid or some bullshit because like he is a hater, even though my hair looks awesome all the time. And anyway, we just ended up fighting. But like, we don't talk shit while we're working.
Yeah, we're totally cool at the restaurant.
Yeah, like it's chill. Lisa's like, okay, well, that's an absolutely crazy explanation. And for whatever reason, she decides in this moment to be like, and you know what? It all seems to come back to you, Kristen Doty.
She's like, you know, I just can't deal with having staff like this. And when you look around the room and you do one plus one plus one and you look at the history of all the things that have ever happened before, you know who's the common denominator here? Do the math, Kristen. It's you.
And Kristen's like, wait, what?
She's like, what? Well, I didn't even say anything yet.
Yeah, like, what problems have we even had recently? And right. She's like, oh, we've had plenty of problems. And then Peter chimes in.
Oh my God, Peter sipping on the haterade this episode. He is
being a messy little bitch, which I kind of love. I love Peter. And he goes, Kristen, you're a goddamn liability at this restaurant. Do you know how many times I've caught you ordering drinks and then going out back and drinking them for yourself?
And like, I gotta be honest, this is maybe the sexiest Peter's been to me.
I agree.
I'm like, oh shit. Oh. Like he's kind of stepping into his boy boss era.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing.
I'm kind of liking him like taking a stand for something.
Totally.
Hot Peter.
He stood by Stassi.
Yeah.
Now he's calling people out.
Uh-huh. Here's what I will say. He did pick, in fact, the lamest excuse.
He did.
For why Kristen should be fired.
Totally.
Because everybody on that Sir staff is hammered 24/7.
Totally.
Yeah. And Kristen's like, in a talking head, she's like, okay, so I'm really not the only one who drinks at work. Like, everybody drinks at work. I don't know why they're picking me out of the bunch to, like, I don't know, show some sort of, like, tell me off, right?
Mm.
And Lisa's like, and suddenly James is being pulled into your nonsense, too. And Kristen also... so funny because as they're like accusing her of drinking at the restaurant and like stealing drinks and taking them out back, Kristen with a shrug just goes, I've done that. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, it's delicious. It's actually one of my favorite things to do.
So awesome. She's like, yeah, I've totally done that.
And Lisa's basically like, okay, so listen, here's what it comes down to. James, I have a certain loyalty to Tom and Kristen because of how long they've worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Schwartz, I've dragged him over the coals, as she says. And Tom Sandoval takes this moment. He all of a sudden pipes up for the first time. He's like, yeah, Lisa, I'm sorry, though. Like, and she's like, enough. Put a sock in it. We've already come to the conclusions of what's happening here. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Tom and Kristen, you guys are suspended. And James, you're fired. And that's the end of the episode.
That's it. Fuck their good storyteller season three.
Fucking awesome.
You can just tell that the editors have it like honed to a fucking craft in this season.
No, they really hit the upgrade button in season three.
The storytelling of this show has always been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Season three, they are on some other fucking shit.
I actually like I was doing a scroll through the episode list today, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that. Like, there's so
I'm so excited.
Now we're reaching the episodes where, like, the ones in the middle are the ones that it's, like, it's easier to forget some of the smaller beefs that happen. Yep. It's, like, season one is so memorable, and the last, like, the scandal of it all at the end is so memorable.
Of course.
And some of the smaller beefs in the middle you kind of forget.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Once I took a scroll through what happens this season, I was like, fuck.
I'm so excited. Stuff. Is this the season that Lala comes on too?
I think it's season four that Lala comes.
All right. Yeah, it's a slow build up.
But we do get Vale this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, fuck. I'm really amped. Episode to episode, it's just hit after hit.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Can't fucking wait.
Can't wait.
So thank you guys so much for listening. Actually, while we're here, while we've got you, there was a hilarious fucking comment that was left on one of these episodes a couple days ago that I personally loved. Somebody commented being like, you know, you guys really have got to open up a segment where we, the pumpers, can submit like our juice, our drama, our tea, and you guys can comment on it the same way you're commenting on Vanderpump. We have huge news for you. That's exactly what we do on the main show of Emotionally Online.
Yes.
So if you want to continue hanging out with us and talking about non-Vanderpump related things in our lives or submitting some drama and juice going on in your own life that we will potentially comment on, come join us for Emotionally Online. That goes live every single Friday.
Yeah.
You can follow the show at Pumpcast Rules on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow me at Maddie Drospec.
You can follow me at Meg Ruoco.
And we will see you guys in next week's episode.
Bye.